Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in this Acts chapter 20 passage, what we have is the Apostle Paul exhorting the elders at Ephesus in how they are to conduct themselves as elders called by God. God is the one who instructs the elders of the church how they are to behave. The Word of God is that which gives to us even the character of the elders and how they are to be chosen within the midst of the congregation and what the congregation is to look for. We simply just need to remember 1 Timothy 3 and the characteristics given there with regards to the elders and who they are to look for among the body of Christ. They are to be men of full of faith and wisdom, men that are given to the Word of God and love to be able to minister the Word of God to the people of God and shepherd in Christ's stead for the glory and the praise of the one who gave his life for the church. The Apostle Paul wants to instruct them how they are then to conduct themselves in the household of faith. He wants also to warn them of the things that will take place after his departure, which we find in the remainder of the book of Acts. These things continually happen within the church, but he exhorts them in how they are to be a people and how they are to minister with the tenacity of the Spirit and the Word of the true and living God. And this, what he gives here, what he instructs us, is not something that he pulls out of his hat. The example is given in the Old Covenant with regards to the elders of the church and those, the pattern given of those that shepherded and cared for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the elders are. They are those that are to shepherd the church of God. Now, thinking about God giving us shepherds, God giving us elders within the church, therefore there is a necessity that there be elders, those that rule over in Christ's stead. Christ is the one who gifts. Christ is the one who gives. And he gives out of love for his church. That there are elders in a particular congregation, that you have a pastor in a congregation, is the love of Christ. It's Christ's love to his church. That's what we read of in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists and teachers. And he did that for the building up of the body so that we all might understand how and when and why we are to do our particular aspect of the ministry. The ministry, one ministry, the ministry of the church with each part doing its share, bringing forth a certain particular aspect to minister to the whole body. And the neglect of the body is seen in the membership not doing its share. Even as the Apostle Paul said, that every part does its share to the edifying of the whole. So it's essential, isn't it? It's essential that we know that we're in the body of Christ and what we're called to in the body of Christ. What our gifting is. What area of service. What area of speaking. What area of leading. What area of caring for the body of Christ, for the glory of Christ, is that aspect that's been given to us. Paul is speaking that here, and it's important for us to recognize that he speaks about elders being appointed in every city. He told this to Titus. So having elders in a congregation is not an option. It's a command from our Lord. It's a gift from our Lord to have those that are overseeing and caring for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at our text this morning, I'm going to look at verses 28 through 31. And really, in verse 28, you have a couple of things that I want to look at. First, the elder, the call to care for himself. You notice the Apostle Paul says that, take heed to yourselves, speaking to the elders of the congregation. Notice the plurality, not just one, but many elders within the congregation. So the first thing is taking heed to yourself. Secondly, notice that he says that in all the flock. And so there is an aspect of the ministry of the elder to care for the flock of God, the flock of Christ. And thirdly, Paul warns them in verse 29 through 31 about the wolves that will come in, the enemies of the gospel. And so the three things that we want to see are the elders care for themselves, the elders care for the church, and the elders being exhorted to watch for the wolves that come into the church. And notice first off, the Apostle Paul says to take heed to yourselves. This is something that is of utmost importance for the elders of the church. Now, when you speak of the elders of the church, there's different giftings within the eldership. There are those that lead, there are those that rule, there are those that preach. There are different giftings even within the eldership. But within the eldership, you can look at 1 Peter 5 and see that even though Peter was an apostle, he demonstrates that he also was an elder. In other words, he was one given oversight in the body of Jesus Christ. And so many times these terms can be used interchangeably. The elder, the overseer, the episkopos, the bishop, or the pastor, the poimen, are used in these specific ways throughout the scriptures. But he says to take heed to yourself. That's first off. Pay attention to your own life. As I was reading through this and I was thinking upon this particular thing of taking heed and what the Apostle Paul was referring to about holding things in mind and being cautious about your own life, I thought about the airlines and when you're on a plane and when they talk about the plane going down and if it does come to a crash and those little oxygen masks come down, the first thing that they tell you is that put yours on first so that then you can then help others. This is the point here. Take heed to yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves so that you can then take care of others. Even as the apostle admonishes in 1 Timothy 3, that the elders are not to be a novice, they're not to be a newbie, a beginner in the faith, and they are to be one who rules in their own house well. If they don't take care of their own household, how will they be equipped, enabled, how will they have the ability to take care of the household of God? And so that's the first thing, is taking heed. And you must take heed because the admonition given to the elders of the church are to speak the things which are in accord with sound doctrine. You need to take heed to yourself so that you can speak the things which are proper, which are in accord with sound doctrine. Titus chapter 2. We also see that Paul calls Titus to show himself a pattern of good works. You need to take heed to yourself, pay attention to your life and to your doctrine so that you might speak properly and that you might live properly. That you might be a pattern of good works to the members of the body in whom God calls you to be an overseer. Think about that for a moment. What kind of a life what Lord calls you to? A life of reflection. A life of meditation. Think about what the Apostle Paul, or what we read of in Acts chapter 6, with regard to the calling of officers in the church. Look out from among you, is the admonition of the congregation, for seven men full of faith and wisdom in the Holy Spirit. And these we will appoint over this business. First officers that we see in the church. Men filled with faith. In other words, to look out for yourself and make sure you're believing the precious promises of God's word. Because you are going to communicate them. You must communicate them to the people of God. Whether it be standing as I preach and I teach, or whether it be in a Sunday school teaching setting, whether it be house to house family visitation, whether it be a counseling session, you are to speak the things that are in accordance, that are proper with sound doctrine. And so you must know the word. To be an elder in the church, you must be a man of the word. You must be a man who gives heed to the word, who submits to the word, who bows your neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ. You are to be one who understands sound doctrine so that when the fault comes in, you can put it off and cast it down immediately. You can shut the mouths of the gainsayers, of those who are detractors from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are to be one who shows integrity. You are to show reverence and incorruptibility in your doctrine, the Apostle Paul says. All that contained in just a few verses of the book of Titus. showing reverence in your doctrine. That you're not telling the people in the congregation to do what I say, not as I do. Jesus condemned the Pharisees for that. They said that the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so whatever they tell you to do, do it. But don't do what they do. Because they say and do not do. The elder is called to be one who is hospitable. The one who is able to put off false doctrine, put it down, to discern. He is to be wise and understanding, a man of prayer, a man of worship, a man who leads his family, and as he leads his family, the rest of the flock of God can witness, bear witness to that truth, that he is one leading in accordance with the Word of God. A man should not be in the office who can't take care of his own household, who doesn't lead his household. This is what Paul is calling to. A man full of faith. He believes God's word. He doesn't walk by sight. He walks by trusting what God has revealed in his word. Taking heed to yourself. Be reflective of yourself. Think about the thoughts that you think. Are you thinking God's thoughts after him? Are you interpreting things and understanding things through the lens of Scripture? Are you admonishing people to do that, and is that your practice? Are you admonishing them because that is what you also practice? You're admonishing them that because the Word of God tells us to be that people, and it's seen in your life. It's a wretched thing to have a counseling session with an elder of the church who has no desire to counsel according to the Word, who doesn't have a knowledge of the Word to be able to maneuver his way through the teaching of Scripture and to be able to pick out the appropriate texts of God's word to minister to a particular situation. That man should not be an elder. I have noticed and I've witnessed numerous licensure examinations of men who thought they were called to the ministry. And as they get up and they begin being examined and questioned about their faith, they can't give credible answers. They cannot reflect upon the teaching of Scripture and give a biblical response. They can't understand the confessions of the church. And I've seen more than one occasion a minister stand up and read the Constitution that the examination be arrested for this man is an ignorant man, and we are not to license men who are ignorant. You're not to be an ignorant man. You're to know the Word of God. And that's being led by the working of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says to take heed to yourself and to all the flock. Notice that it's not some of the flock. It's all of the flock of God. Every member that the Lord has put under your oversight, you are to take heed of. You are to care for. You are to reflect upon. You are to be one who revolves in your mind the truth of Scripture and how you can feed and minister to this particular flock. You are to be one who thinks about that, keeps it in mind, and is careful and cautious about the congregation to which God has called us. You know, this is serious business. This is a serious work. It's a serious calling. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be viewed as the world views it, as of nothing. It means nothing. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's whom Christ calls to shepherd his people, to care for his people in his stead. So it's all the flock. Now notice what he says here, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. An elder is not one who makes himself an elder. An elder is one who is made by the Spirit of God. An elder is one who is gifted by the Spirit, who gives to all particular gifts as he wills, so that he might serve in the body of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who knits the people of God together from every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world. He brings them together, and he brings them together with the gifts that each one of them has been given to the exercise of that within the body of Christ. And that, again, as Ephesians 4, is for the building up and the edifying and the nourishing of one another for the work of ministry. And so think about that for a moment, that the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. And, beloved, in a truth, when the congregation votes and they vote for an elder, it needs to be understood that you're voting for qualified men. You're voting for men that are qualified by the teaching of God's word. Not perfect men, but qualified men. You see the examples given in the guidelines, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and Acts 6, given for the men that are called to be overseers in the church of God. And you, as the members of the congregation, ought to know these things in the Word of God so that you can choose out from among you men who are gifted to that work. It's for your benefit. It's for your well-being. It's for your nourishment. It's not simply there's a vacancy here. Who do we need to get? That's not what you do. It's not this idea of, well, let's call him to be elder. Maybe he'll be faithful in coming to worship. You've already missed the point. You're to look for men who are faithful, who do have the gifting, that when you have a difficulty and a problem and you converse, that it's the Word of God that's brought to bear, that brings to light, that reveals the problem and addresses the problem. That their conversation, that their counsel, their admonition, their exhortation, their rebuke comes from God's Word and not their opinion. And in choosing that way, in electing men that way, you are demonstrating the work of the Spirit, His choice within this congregation. Too often, men are not chosen in that way. Too often, men are chosen by looking down the directory and seeing who hasn't served. Well, he hasn't. Let's get him in. And maybe he's a guy that only comes to church 26 times a year. And you're going to, well, then maybe he'll be faithful if we make him an elder. No, no. You think about also the marriage relationship. Same type of principle. You don't traffic in the realm of the unbeliever thinking that you'll make him a believer. Well, maybe that they can come to church and maybe through that the Lord, you've missed it. A believer has no business being with an unbeliever. And you know why people get all excited about that? Because it happens all the time in the church. And then all of a sudden when you preach and you teach on it and you reveal that, people get angry. Well, again, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with the Lord, because that's His Word. So in the same principle, you don't go on the basis of we'll make him an elder because maybe he'll be faithful. You look for faithful men who are going to then nourish you and care for you spiritually. Not only does he care for his own life, but he's called to care spiritually for the church of Jesus Christ. And recognize this, elders. It's not our church. It doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. It's the church of God. It's God's church. And therefore, we don't come with our own agenda, with our own priorities. We come with the word of truth. We are to function. We are to rule. We are to oversee, to shepherd, to nourish, to care for the people according to the teaching of Scripture. The only food given to us to minister spiritually to the people of God is the word of God. That's what Paul says. I commend you, brethren, to God and to the word of His grace. It's the word of His grace which is able to build you up, to edify, to nourish, to strengthen, to build you up in the faith. It's only the word of God that can do that. And so the elders, notice, are to care for themselves and care for the flock with the word, serving as overseers. That overseer is episkopos, is the Greek term. It's two words there, episkopos. You bring these two words together, separate them. A P means upon or over, and scopus means to look or to see. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that the overseers of the church are to look upon the church. It's very reminiscent of David sitting on the mountainside, overseeing his flock, watching the health of the flock. Watching that they're being nourished, that they're being fed, that they're being led into the right pastures to feed. And it's their duty to go through the fields aforetime and to glean through the fields, preparing that field for the sheep of the pasture. That's the responsibility. And it's the church of God. Again, genitive in the Greek, it's God's possession. When we deal with the people of God, we are dealing with those that have been purchased by Christ. Now, you elders, you think about that. How are you treating the ones who have been purchased by Jesus Christ? Are you neglecting them by not bringing them the word? Are you not feeding them by not opening up the counsel of God and instructing and counseling and encouraging? It's the word of God that's inspired, that is profitable for correction, for teaching, for rebuke, that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And to the degree that we're not opening up the bread of life and ministering to the congregation in this way, to the degree that we're not directing them to the only Savior, Jesus Christ. If we begin pointing to ourselves, we've missed it. We are to point the people of God to Jesus Christ, the one who purchased them, the one who redeemed them. And he redeemed us also. And we are truly sheep within the fold of God that are called then to be overseers. But we are sheep before we are overseers. Now, that reflection is sobering. It's God's church. And God will have us to minister the way that he has directed us in his word. And so going back to a man taking heed and knowing the doctrine, knowing the word, knowing the faith, knowing how he is to conduct himself in the household of God. Purchased with his own blood. Christ purchased us. Are you believing in Christ this morning? Are you trusting in him? He purchased you. He bought you. He bought you off the slave block to be his own possession. And he loves you by giving elders in the congregation to nourish and to feed and admonish you and correct you when you go astray. To rebuke you when you need to be rebuked. A difficult ministry, a difficult calling, not for the faint of heart. Only for those in whom God is gifted and called to the work. They are obviously to be seen and manifest among the congregation by the gifting with which they have been giving. But you've been purchased. That's the sobering, this phrase right here, which he purchased with his own blood. Now you know that it's Christ and his humanity that purchased the people with his blood. It's not God who died. God cannot die. It's Christ who died. The one who is fully God and fully man. But even in that distinction, it's the manhood that died, not the Godhead. The Godhead sustained him even on the cross. Sustained him in the grave. The Godhead cannot die. His divine nature cannot die. But Christ, who is God come in the flesh, laid down his life, poured out his blood, that we might be redeemed. Think about that, elders, when you approach the people of God. We need to be reminded of this, don't we? We need to continually take heed to this particular text, that they are the possession of Christ. And Paul goes on and he says this, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in." Isn't it the way that it is? It always is this way in the church. Paul leaves, and what happens? The wolves come in, savage wolves. Wolves that have no restraint, desiring to devour. Paul speaks of them in the book of Galatians. Men who come in trying to spy out the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. They come in trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. We have them in the Reformed churches. We have guys that come in and say that you must be obedient to the law of God if you are going to be saved. There are guys that come in and they say, "Trust and obey, there's no other way to be saved." You know the hymn, don't you? "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." When you're not obedient, you're not going to be happy because you're going to be disciplined. It's not "trust and obey, for there's no other way to be saved." That is not the teaching of Scripture. That is not the teaching of the hymns. You are saved by Christ and by Christ alone. Your life from that point on of salvation is one of thanksgiving. Savage wolves continue to come in. Read it throughout the New Testament. Those that come in talking about they are the Christ, distorting the doctrine, perverting the doctrine of Christ, perverting the doctrine of the Trinity. We have the cults all around us today who say they're Christians. The Mormons now, they say they're Christians. They're not Christians. They deny all the tenets of the Christian faith. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're not Christians. The Christian heresies, they're cults. And they abound today, and they want to come in and pervert the truth and the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. And the apostle says, take heed. Be on your guard. Drop down to verse 31. Notice what he says. Watch and remember. Watch. These are all in the present tense. Keep on watching. Keep on being vigilant. And remember what he has taught us. They'll come in among you and they won't spare the flock. They'll want to devour the flock. And he says also from among your own selves. Notice, from among the congregation, men will rise up. Rise up. They'll get some learning and they'll get some few ideas. And they'll rise up and they'll want to bring people and lead people astray. Teaching things which they ought not. Do you recognize that all the antichrists have come through the church? You read 1 John. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Do you recognize that every cult today had an individual, a leader that was once in the Orthodox Church and had not faith in Jesus Christ and went astray into some other kind of false teaching and began teaching that and decided, well, you know, I'll start myself a church. And got all kinds of kooks and flakes and everybody else that follow after that false teaching. Leading people astray. The elders are those that are watch. Watch out for that. Watch out for those who will come knocking on your door, trying to lead you down the path of destruction, talking about Jesus, but not the Jesus of Scripture. The Mormon Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jehovah's Witness Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. And there are many other of the cults, but those are the primary ones in our day and age. They are not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of the Mormons is the spirit brother of Lucifer. The Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is Michael the Archangel, the first of God's creations. Beware and watch out for these people who will sneak in and want to slide these things in. They're slippery, they're wily. You think about what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Metamorpho. Into another form. He transforms himself into another form. An angel of light. You know, the world gives this caricature of a red devil with pitchfork and a red suit and a big long tail. A grotesque creature coming after you. Some kind of an ogre. It's not what the scripture says. He comes trying to deceive you. If he came in that form, you'd run. Rightly so. He doesn't come in that form. He comes to attract you. He comes wily, crafty. He comes speaking things that if you cannot discern truth from error, he just distorts it a little bit. He comes with a whole load of lies covered with a little bit of truth, trying to lead you down a particular path. And he uses false teachers to do it. You got a whole boatload of them on TV today, teaching a false gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, you are never, ever going to be saved by what you do. You are either saved by Jesus Christ or you're not saved. Period. End of the story. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You tell me I have to do something to be saved, that's not good news, because I can't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength with sin that so easily clings to me. Christ loves the Father. Christ loves God with all of his being. And that's the righteousness imputed to all who believe. That's the good news of the gospel. What we could not do, Jesus did in our place. That is reckoned to us, imputed to us by faith, and a faith that's God-given to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't fall for the imitation. Don't fall for those trying to lead you astray. Get in the Word, beloved. And elders, it's our responsibility to oversee the congregation, the health of the congregation, to assess the growth of the congregation, to assess their being in the Word, being diligent in understanding the truth. And that's what we're called to watch, because men will try to draw them away, trying to rob the inheritance of Christ, to purchase possessions by the false teaching. Paul says, I labored, and for 3 years I warned you. For 3 years I taught you. I instructed you. I pleaded with you. Night and day with tears. He was constantly bringing it up. Beware. Watch out. Take heed. Care for the purchased possession of God. That is your calling as an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ. Care for yourself. Care for the church. And watch out for the wolves that come in among us. And even those that Satan plants in the church. There'll always be the tares among. There'll always be those plants that the Heavenly Father has not planted. Remember what Jesus said about the field. Did you not plant good seed in your field? Why so many tares? An enemy has done this. They look just like the true until time of harvest. Then they just simply explode. There's no substance there to them. Take heed, elders. We have a grave responsibility to care for the inheritance of Christ, the jewels of his crown, the people of God that he bought with his own blood. That's the calling that we have as elders in the church. Amen.